Tell him hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, tell him hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give him the praise he deserves. Hallelujah. 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 Take one home with you.
Hallelujah.
Sing it so much that it's in your spirit that you take it home with you.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Elevate your voices.
Hallelujah.
Convince Bessemer of your salvation in Christ. Convince Bessemer of your appreciation, your gratitude, your thanksgiving for this day is the day that the Lord has made. You are to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless His name. Bless His name. Great is our God, and He's gracious. And the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. And certainly God has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good to be alive, alert and active, for it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. God has blessed us beyond our ability to count, beyond our deservance, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. What a wonderful time we're having in the Lord. He has manifested His presence in our midst, and how good it is for me to be back among the saints of God. And wife, she's here, and baby, wave your hand, baby. Let them know I'm not so low. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your prayers and your generosity and your thoughts and your expressions in our time of bereavement. Uncle was funeralized on Saturday before yesterday, and her father was funeralized on yesterday. And we had an abbreviation of New Bethlehem in Crawford. Thank you for your travel and your support embodied, and certainly your kindness will never be forgotten. I know a lady will have words prepared for you on next Sunday. Amen. She drove in this morning, and we thank God for safe travel. Come on, give God a hand for being great and good and gracious. Amen. I want to thank Dr. Walker for preaching on last Sunday. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I'm glad he retired.
Glad I have retired.
Amen. Amen. I know he's done a wonderful job. I watched him on last Sunday. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let us not forget the Christmas drive. Excellent. Years past. This is present. People need help. God has blessed us to be their help. Amen. Amen. Wonderful service on yesterday. I had an opportunity to watch of the celebration, homegoing celebration of January on yesterday. But you know, it was a wonderful service. Commendable of his life. You had a problem with January, son. Amen. Amen. Likeable, lovable guy. And did it in a high fashion. I would meet across path Dr. January. And we're praying for Molly. Praying for others who have lost just this morning. Sister Williams lost her fire when she got the news. So pray much for her. Pray much for her family. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 32, and now reading with verse 40. And what shall I say, more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the defilements of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Not the promise. For through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to talk about the conquering power and contrasting reality of faith. The conquering power and contrasting reality of faith. Say that with me. The conquering power and contrasting reality of faith. The conquering power and contrasting reality of faith. Faith, confidence in God, conviction from the Word of God, and a consciousness of God's creative and sustaining power. I want you to work that in your spirit. I'm going to say it again. I've been saying week after week, because I want us to understand what biblical faith is. That is confidence in God. You laying all of your weight, all of who you are, on God. It is a conviction, a determination that we receive from His Word that God is true and trustworthy. He's dependable. Because God can't lie. If His Word says it, it's settled. We have confidence in God, a conviction from His Word. But then there's a consciousness of God's creative and sustaining power that all you see has been brought into existence by the power of God, by the power of His Word. That God spoke all things into existence. He reached down, carved out. He reached down, molded, and shaped. Everything we see is created by God. That is not evolution. That we understand that God not only created, but God sustains. The reason you were able to walk in, roll in, limp in, hop in, is because God is sustaining your life. Care how smart you are, how intelligent you are, I don't care what degrees you have on the wall, how much you have in the bank, is not your money, is not your smarts, is not your degree, is not you being careful, is not you being alert and cautious. It's because of God's creative power you are sitting up in here, up in here, up in here. There were people that are a whole lot better than us who's sleeping in a grave. So it's not that we've been good. It's because God is gracious and He extends His graciousness to us by sustaining. I want you to work that in your spirit. that faith in God is having confidence in God, having conviction from His Word, having a consciousness of His creative and sustaining power. You understand from Hebrews chapter 11 that God demonstrates what faith in Him looks like. He gives us 19 examples, 19 by faith examples, by faith demonstrations to show us what faith in Him looks like. That if you say you have faith and all you do is sit and do nothing, we are convinced from Hebrews chapter 11 that your faith is dead. Because biblical faith is active. It's doing something. It's properly responding to the Word of God, the commands of God, with obedience. That God expects us to obey Him regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the consequences. If God gives us a command, I don't care how many enemies are standing in your way. I don't care how many people are talking down on you. I don't care how many people are rolling their eyes at you. If God gives you a command, He's expecting you to obey His command. This active faith is the proper response to God's word, God's command. Faith causes ordinary men to do extraordinary works. Faith in God causes ordinary men to do extraordinary works. That faith in God is not relying on the person who has faith. Faith in God does not rely on human ability. Because people of faith rely on the power of God to operate in them and through them to do the great works. That is not your ability that God is looking for. It's not your ability as being the reason God chose you. Matter of fact, God doesn't need your ability. What God needs is your availability and your attitude to be right. You can have ability and have a bad attitude and God can't use you. You can have ability and not be available and God can't use you. God is looking for is your availability and your attitude to be right. You know how some people, they can sing and you have to nearly beg them to sing. I can go from there. Some can preach and you have to nearly beg them to preach. Some have great talents and ability. But when it comes time for God to use those talents and abilities, their attitudes are in the way. God don't need your ability. He gives you the ability. That's why you have to tap into God by faith. That when you tap into God by faith, God is like being a light and you sticking the plug into the socket. That when you decide to put your faith in God, then God gives you the energy. He gives you the electricity to light up and do the good works. That He can make ordinary men. Men like myself. Men like these in the pulpit. Men like those that are sitting out in front of me. Men that are sitting on your row. He can take ordinary women and do extraordinary, extraordinary works.
if we have faith in him. Here it is, the writer of Hebrews get to a point where he wants to close, but he has a lot to say. But he knew time would not permit him to cover each person in the Old Testament that had faith in God. He knew that time would not permit him to give a thorough explanation as to their faith in God. So, he swiftly moves through a listing of extraordinary people of faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. And he mentions men from the books of Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Daniel to remind his readers of the conquering power of faith. Notice Gideon, used of God to free Israel from the Midianites. It was obvious that it was not his ability, because God told him to lessen his army. He told him to lessen the army to 300 men. 300 men up against 135,000 Midianites. You know that it was nobody but God who would give victory with 300 men over 135,000 enemies. Somebody here knows that when God is with you, you and God equals the majority. I don't care how many people are up against you. I don't care how many naysayers you have in your life. I don't care how many people are not with you. You got to understand that if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. I ought to have somebody here who can be a witness that God used 300 men to conquer 135,000 Midianites. Barak, used of God in connection with Deborah, the prophetess and judge, to deliver Israel from the oppression of the northern Canaanites under Jabin. Samson, God's instrument to defeat Israel's enemy, the Philistines, on numerous occasions. Jephthah delivered his people from the threat of the Ammonites, believed in God's power, and was willing to face the enemy in the faith that God was leading and would give victory. David, the most prominent king of Israel and the closest to the messianic typology. Samuel, the first prominent prophet, followed by a succession of prophets. But here it is in the text. He reveals both sides of the coin of faith. That on one side, faith is conquering. On the other side, faith allows us to suffer. That there is both conquering, triumphant power in faith, and there's a submission to what God allows, even if it includes suffering. That if you are suffering, it's not necessarily something wrong with your faith. Y'all got time? This conquering power of faith, verses 33 and 34, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Here it is. He's talking about Joshua, Judges, David, subdued kingdoms. kingdoms by faith. Samuel worked righteousness, and Sarah, Hannah, Manoah, and all of the prophets obtained promises. Daniel stopped the mouth of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quenched the violence of fire. Jephthah escaped the edge of the sword. Samson, out of weakness, were made strong. Barak became valiant in battle. Gideon turned to flight the armies of the aliens. We love this side of faith. We love this side of faith. Matter of fact, this is where most of us stop in our reading, because we love this side of faith. We don't want to have any problems because of our faith. We are under this misnomer that if we have faith, we don't have problems. So we love to stop with verses 33 and 34. But what about when faith flips over? And the corn of faith is not on the head side, but is on the tail. What about God not healing you? What about God not snatching you out of trouble? What about God allowing your enemies to so-called get the best, get the ups on you? Because it says in verses 35 through 38 that there's a contrast of faith, that women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were sown. They were sown into, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What happens with you and the way you respond to God when God decides not to deliver you? They subdue kingdoms, verses 34, 35, and they receive promises. But here it is. The writer now flips the corn and says that the same, and this is not a different group. This is not talking about people that don't have faith. This is talking about people with faith. And he goes on to say that they are tortured. They're martyred. They're mistreated. They receive not. They chose not to be delivered because they were looking for a better resurrection. Now put yourself in the text. Things going good, first verses, and then all of a sudden, God allows some tough and torturous things to come your way. Now, how do you respond to God in trouble? How do you respond to God when you go to work, dressed for work, get to work, and see that you no longer have a job? How do you respond to God that you've been married for teens of years and 20, 30 years. And all of a sudden, he say, she say, I don't want to be with you anymore. How do you respond to God when the only child you have committed some crime and now is locked up facing charges that he or she may never see sunlight again? How do you respond to God when that child was driving that car and had an accident, and that accident took that child's life? What happens when you prayed for dad and prayed for mama, and instead of God bringing them back to you, God took them unto himself? It's easy to shout while you're in verses 33 and 34. But you know, it's going to take some maturity for you to shout in verses 35 through 38. Do I have any mature people here who can say, Reverend, I've been there, but God saw me through, and I'm sitting up in here, and I can give him praise because I know that it was nobody but God, and God is sovereign. He can do whatever he want to do, when he want to do it, to whomever he want to do it. I still trust God. I trust him in the rain. I trust him in the sun. I trust him on the mountains. I trust him in valleys. I trust him in verses 33 and 34. I trust him in verses 35 through 38. I trust him. Look at somebody and tell them, I trust him. He says, can you trust him when you are being maimed and mutilated because of your faith? You know, some people will attack you because of your faith, because of your confidence, because of your consciousness, because of your conviction. They are attack you. And they'll say stuff like, you know, ain't that much Jesus in the world. Y'all heard that before? Ain't that much religion in the world? May not be for you, but it is for me, because Jesus is my everything. Do I have anybody in here who can be a witness that he's my everything? When you're being maimed and mutilated, when you believe, but yet you're still in trouble. Because faith does not exempt us from troubles. Faith does not exempt us from suffering, sickness, accidents, pain, and persecution. Faith is not a promise of comfort in this life. They were being persecuted. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. If you give your life to the Lord and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer. Question is whether you as a person of faith will allow the reality of pain and suffering to drive you away from God or to God. That's the question. You know, because when some people get in trouble, instead of running to God, you know, I can prove my posture. You know, the pandemic ran a lot of folks away from. There ought not be an empty space in this sanctuary for all that God has done for us in these last years. This house ought to be running over with people giving God praise. But the reality is, trouble runs some people from God. Instead of running them to God. They announced the pandemic, I went running to God. Lord, if you don't help us, we won't be able to stand the storm. I went running day after day to God. God, keep me. Be my battle axe in times of trouble. Lord, be my leaning post. Be my way out of no way. I went running to God. Lord, if you don't protect me, I won't make it. Lord, be a hedge all around me. Listen, I didn't do like some people. They went running from God. Listen, the reason I can tell they went running from God because, you know, they believe they can go everywhere but church. They can't get COVID in the grocery store. They can't get COVID at the football game. They can't get COVID at the basketball game. They can't get COVID on the golf course. They can't get COVID in the hospital. They can't get COVID in the doctor's office. They can't get COVID trying to get their social security check or whatever else check. But when they come to church, we're running from God. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. They were maimed and mutilated. They stayed with God. But not only that, they would not accept deliverance. Here's the idea. When deliverance was offered on the condition of renouncing their faith in God, they refused to reject God. In other words, they would not deny God to avoid death. Matthew 16:25. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He says that we are to refuse denying Christ even if it spare us momentarily. Some people, you put in a jam, they'll deny him. You know, when I was a boy, we used to play the game. If somebody had knife to your throat, and they say, if you say Jesus, I'll heal you. You know what the question was? But you say Jesus. All of us, we ain't have no knife out of here. If somebody had a gun upside your head, and they say, I dare you to say Jesus. You used to play those games when I was a boy now. You know, and you're not a real gun now. Doc said, ooh. No, we didn't have no real gun upside the head or nothing like that. But, you know, we were just make-believe, pretending. I said, well, would you say Jesus? But, you know, now, as people put us in hard places, You know, the world is so against Jesus. They don't have a problem with Muhammad. They don't have a problem with Buddha, Confucius. They don't have a problem with those names, but Jesus. And you know, they don't want you to call his name publicly in public places. And you know, if you have to see that as denying. You know, in the name of the Almighty is not the same thing as in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. In the name of God is not the same thing as in the name of Jesus. Because listen, anybody can say God, because God is both singular and plural. It can mean God Almighty and God idols. But when you say Jesus, there's no mistake made about it. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's a way out of no way. He's my wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my kinsman redeemer. When you say Jesus, at his name every knee bowed and every tongue must confess. They refused deliverance. But the conquering power of faith, the contrasting reality of faith. But here in the text, when you choose to stand for God, God will commend you. Now it's something when God brags on you. Now I'm not talking about somebody on your road bragging on you. I'm talking about God, who's above all and all is beneath him. When God opens up his mouth and brags on you, when God gives you a good report. You know, when you think about Job, it was God bragging on Job. That God brought Job's name up to Satan and said, there is none like Job in all the land. Listen, when you think about Bessemer, will God single you out? When you think about Birmingham, will God single you out? When you think about Tuscaloosa, will God single you out? When you think about Pleasant Grove and Hewittown and McCalla and Helena and Hoover, wherever you live, will God single you out? Because God is bragging on you. That he brought Job's name up. He says, there's none in the land. That's some kind of report. Oh, may never say anything good about me. It's the Lord. If the Lord have a good report of me, my soul is satisfied. See, some of you want people to say something good about you, and God have nothing to say good about you because you're more in trying to impress people than you are God. But my life, I'm trying to impress God instead of impressing people, because one thing about it, God can get you off of me, but you can't get God off of me. Look at somebody and tell them, if I'm in trouble with God, there's nothing you can do to get God off of me. But if I'm in trouble with you, God can get you off of me. Yeah, you can be my enemy and God will make you my footstool. He'll make my enemies be at peace with me. But that's why we got to have a good report. I want my record to be on high. He commended them for their faith. Commended them for their faith. And I want you to understand something. When you get in trouble because of your faith, know that God cares about your suffering. He invests himself in the process of healing that comes from the things we suffer. God involves himself to lift us out of it. He did this on Calvary. On Calvary, God, it was in human form and came to earth in the person of Jesus and suffered. He knows about our pain. He knows about our rejection. He knows about our injustices. He knows about the cruelty. He knows about the things we suffer. And because he knows, he formed himself in human body and hung on Calvary so that he can remove us from the pain and the suffering. If God does not move it, he can move you. If God does not deliver you from it, God can deliver you in it. God don't have to move it. He can do it right in the midst of it because he's God. He can help you by giving you strength to go through your suffering. Then one day, will be with him in heaven. Bible says, he'll wipe all tears. Be no death. Crying. Deliver us from the things we take this home. You're not suffering necessarily because you have a lack, because of your faith. You live in a dark world. Evil people are all. You are employed by some evil. Represent evil people. Represent both good and bad. You may wake up to evil people in your home. I get away with it until my pastor say you evil. Put the word may. That you have to stay with God regardless of the pressure that's being applied to your life because of your faith. You have to stay with God and really mean it. For God, I live. Listen, Jesus Christ came. That we may live it.
You conquer, but you also suffer.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But stay with God.
Everyone, to your feet, if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stand with God. Stay with the Lord. Stay with God.
You take care.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, give the Lord your life. While the blood is running warm in your veins.
Yes, Lord.
There's not an opportunity after death. For you to get it right, you have to get it right now. While God gives you time, life. Give him your life. Give him your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him with your mouth. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Second, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid you Bethlehem on your heart as a church family, as a family of faith. Faith comes
Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come, the altar of the Lord is open. Give the Lord your confession. Pray your prayer. We'll pray with you. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. And he will restore. In Jesus' name. Come. Come. The door is open for salvation. Doors open. For membership. Doors open. Restoration. Be washed. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm washed. As you remain standing, we ask our brother in the corner. Deacon, brother, and officers, come. If you don't have a communion couplet, please raise your hand. Raise your hand. Opportunity to honor your son. Lord, because of his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, we're able to bow and pray, asking for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for relationship healed. For by his stripes we're healed. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us as your people. Now, Lord, we pray that you give us oneness. We can partake of this, Lord, suffer this communion, Lord, and and be pleasing to you. Give us, cleanse us in Jesus' name. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take eat. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take drink. All hearts and minds clear.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.
No more dying death. We are going to see the King. No more dying death. We are going.